We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
Now she's the go-to woman. Everyone's like, look at Chelsea Handler, huh? Skiing topless. Look at her go. She's living the dream, you know, or whatever she's doing.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Height, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host Erica, wearing my favorite dress of yours.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It might be my first cave and buy from Rent the Runway because I've worn it.
I was going to say, it's not yours yet, but I want it to be.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I tried to get more into the color. Tried to get more into, I don't know, a little bit brighter lifestyle. I actually saw this thing this morning, this clip. Mm-hmm. And it was about some woman saying, you know, you should actually put yourself together in a way that you like a little, I don't know, if it's a little makeup, your hair, your outfit, whatever. Don't just be like, fuck it, I don't care what I look like. And it was an experiment that she did it for, you know, was going to do it for a month. And she said immediately in a week, the biggest thing she noticed actually was how people treat you, and not in a way of like people were treating you badly before. But people were more friendly, more engaging, and it naturally made you more approachable. And I was like, and I'll admit it, I'm the worst at caring. I'm very like, whatever, I got to run this errand, who cares, right? And I'll still probably do that. But I've tried to be better of, hey, I'm going to go to the coffee shop and work for the day. Let me put on something I do feel a little cute in, right? A little bit of that you never know attitude. But it's also, you know, they've done all the studies with like some teachers would make you dress up to take tests and you would perform better on the tests and stuff like that, that I might do it for myself as a little experiment. So I've been trying to get things that are an easy to throw on, comfortable, but bright, welcoming, cute in that way.
It's like the dress for the job you have, or dress for the job you want, not the job you have mentality.
Yeah. And it's something like, obviously, you shouldn't need to feed off other people's energy, but it is noticeable when people like just smile at you because you're wearing a brighter color.
The brighter color thing truly does put me in a better mood. Like when I wear something bright, or when I like you said, when I feel like I love what I've put on, mm-hmm. I automatically, or I feel like, oh my God, I'm loving my hairstyle today. Or when I wear like a new blush that I'm really digging. I definitely have a shift in energy.
Yeah. And it's something that I've never really tried to do it. And it obviously is a little bit easier in LA. The weather is constantly great.
Yeah.
That I'm trying to find those pieces that I'm comfortable, but I also feel cute and a little bit flirty almost. You know?
A little flirty. Yeah. The ruffle sleeve. Very flirty. Very flirty. I love
it. Yeah. I'm like, I'll see. I'll report back to the pod if I noticed a shift. You know,
please do. Please do.
Anyway, that's a side tangent. I know you have a lot to update us on.
I do. I have now been on 5 dates cumulatively with the publicist.
Ooh.
Yeah. Although you and I calculated by matchmaker Maria math, we have been on 12.
We have just hit 12.
We have just hit 12.
Phone call thrown in.
Yeah, that's all I'll say about that in this forum. But I went on the last week's pod, I had a fourth date planned with him, which is where I was going to meet his friends.
Right.
And so we did that. That was on Friday. We met up for happy hour with his two friends who, they're a couple. He's known the guy since high school, but the guy started dating his now wife in college. So they've all, and the publicist is my age. So like they've all been friends, the three of them, for a minute.
So it felt more like meeting the friends as opposed to a double date.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It definitely felt more friend vibe. Yeah. It didn't feel like a structured situation, if you will. They also had their baby with them.
Okay.
So it was definitely super chill. We went, sat on the back patio of a bar in Brooklyn that there were so many babies at this bar. It was kind of hysterical. I was like, how did everyone with the baby get the memo to come here today? We had a great time. His friends were super nice. And it also just felt very like normal. Like we were all just hanging out in a group. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, again, it wasn't a thing. Like similar to when he met my friends, it didn't feel like this huge monumental, oh, you're taking this test kind of thing.
Mm. I was going to say, did you feel like the conversation was questions to you about you or literally we're all just talking?
Both. I think like there were, it was mostly the latter of where we were all kind of chatting. But then when something would come up where it was appropriate or not appropriate is the wrong word because it's always appropriate to ask someone about themselves. But she asked me about myself and it was, I found it very inappropriate.
Yeah. How dare you?
No, but how dare you ask me questions? When something came up that like it was in context to ask me something that they didn't know, like we were talking about their hometown, they're all from a similar area. And she was like, oh, Allie, where are you from? Like it was that kind of thing. It didn't feel like an interrogation. It felt like they were getting to know me, but in the context of the hang.
Yeah, that just feels like a moment where actually they're recognizing, oh, we're talking about something that does not include the new person. Let's bring them into the conversation, which is very considerate.
Yes.
Yeah, I would hate a feeling like I was getting fired questions because I'm very outgoing and very social. And I would be like, I'll get in it. Okay? I'll get in the convo.
give me my time.
All right? Yeah.
Like
I'm from a very large family, okay? I have to cut someone off to start talking most of the time. So I'm used to it, all right? Give me the biggest group ever. I'm fine.
Yeah, I made this reference with someone recently where like sometimes I feel like I'm jumping into a double dutch thing with that where like there's like a very active conversation going and you're like, okay, where is the good time to insert myself here? This did not feel like that, but you just reminded me of that metaphor.
Yeah.
And so it was fun. And then so we hung out with them for a while and then we ended up getting dinner, just the two of us, which was very fun and also felt like a nice way for us to still have a date, even though we had done the friend hang.
Right. Some alone time.
Yeah. Some alone time, which was really nice. Shout out to the hostess at Lokanda who recognized me.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah. It was funny because this is the first time, I'm saying this slowly to make sure that this is correct. This is the first time that I have been on, oh no, that's not true. The disco ball and I were walking down the street and someone said hi. Besides that, like this is not the second time where somebody has like said hi to me while I'm with a guy, like while I'm on a date.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny because so he and I had to wait a little bit for a table. So we put our names in with the hostess and then we were sitting over at the bar having a drink waiting for our table. I went to use the bathroom. She pulled me aside while I was on my way to the bathroom, which I also appreciated that she didn't like in her mind, like blow up my spot. Although he knows, obviously, but she doesn't know that.
Yeah.
And when I got back to him, I was not planning on saying anything. And he goes, did she know who you are?
So he saw the interaction?
He saw the interaction. I was like, yeah. I wasn't going to say anything, though, because, like, that's a weird thing.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. Like, I think that kind of – we then had some really good conversations at dinner more about my account and, like, his, you know, kind of now participation in it. And it was really good in a way that I don't know that we would have had those conversations if that hadn't happened.
Yeah. Not to be negative, but I'm curious, were there any questions he had that were more concerns or was he like, what do people know about me versus not know about me, et cetera?
He didn't even ask anything about himself, actually.
Mm.
He asked more, like he was asking more, like how it impacts me. Questions.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was interesting. I think it just for the first time, it brought it home a little bit more, like the scale. Because we were out at a random restaurant and somebody like would know who he is.
Yeah, I mean, I assume a common question is how often does that happen to you?
Yeah. Yeah. But he wasn't, the questions he was asking weren't really about like, how does this affect him?
Mm-hmm.
It was more about like my thoughts on it. And, you know, he's, as I said before, he is immensely supportive, which is wonderful, but it was just, it was a really good conversation. And it was, I think we also talked a little bit about hypothetically, and I am putting hypothetically in capital letters, bolding it and underlining it, just so that there is no mistaking out there in the crowd, about like hypothetically what it would look like if I were in a relationship on this account, on this platform.
Oh, fair question.
Absolutely.
Like so far he has been, or it's been very nice that you have not felt you needed to hide it or even tone it down. Let's say that. That he's been filming some stuff for you, like, I got a better angle, you know, like being a part of it. So it does, it is very, very supportive. So that has to be nice. But I guess, I would be very much curious about that, I guess, if I was dating you. I think specifically at what point am I supposed to almost be in it? Or do you never put the person in it?
That's the conversation that we had. And I told him, well, he was asking me. He was like, what's your plan, basically? Not what's your plan, but like... But like, have you thought about that? He said, because I told him that it's never come up, because since I've been doing this in the way that I do it now, I had Finding Mr. Height when I was dating the Oyster, but it looked very different at the time.
Right.
I haven't been in a relationship since then, so I haven't had to think about it. And so I don't know necessarily, but it is something that would be a joint decision. Like it wouldn't just be me being like, and now you will be in this video.
Yeah, obviously. I would assume so too.
Yeah. Although he has inserted himself in a couple already that this week will come out. Like his voice is in one and his hand is in one. On purpose. He did it on purpose.
I was going to say, is he like, soft launch me. Get my hand in there.
He's been on Be Real. I'll say that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'm and not into it, but it is interesting because we've talked about what? Soft arch. Jesus. Soft launch versus hard launch.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't mean this to be an arrogant thing. I feel so arrogant. But you have to think about it if you're someone that has somewhat of a following on social media, right? And there's been days I have wished that I did just have an Instagram that had nothing with comedy, zero promotion. I follow 100 people that are my people that I would consider really, really close friends, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really, really close. You get what I mean. Like I my family, da, da, da.
Yeah.
That whole account could be, I don't give a fuck about the engagement over here, you know?
I would be
posting up a storm, not a storm, but I'd be more comfortable like, I'll share my boyfriend over here because these are the people that I care to know about it.
Yeah.
You know?
I will not have the bandwidth for
two accounts.
I will absolutely post him on my personal account in the way that I would normally, which is private, and I pretty much never post there. I think I posted there like 3 times last year.
Right, but that's how a lot of people use Instagram. They're absolutely on it, looking, but not posting that much.
That's how I previously used Instagram. Like that is not unusual behavior. Like people that follow me on that account are not like, where'd you go? Like that's how I. That's what I did.
When I first had Instagram, I would post food and then I would pick lyrics from songs that I thought matched the food and the vibe.
That's incredible. Why don't you still do that? I want that every week.
Maybe I'll do it in stories because I could actually add the song now. Which I'll never forget posting, I think it was some type of brunch, and I just wrote, can I hit it in the morning? Which is so dumb and cheesy, but it was almost a fun little brain challenge for myself. Like, oh. Fun caption.
I love this. I need you to bring this to your stories. This needs to be a thing.
Maybe I'll post just for the listeners. I'll post some throwbacks and show them my low quality food photos.
Please, I'm begging you. I'm begging you, please. And listeners, feel free to scroll all the way back and share them yourself.
Yeah. But that's just hilarious. If I'm like, wow, me on Instagram not caring was just sharing my food.
I love it.
Just, this is what I love in my life.
Yeah. So like I do think that no matter how me and my future partner choose to incorporate him into my Finding Mr. Hyde content, because that's going to be like a dual thing. And
yeah, you don't got to answer this right now. You know?
Yeah, I don't have to know, right? But regardless of that, I will certainly be using my personal Instagram in the way that I always have, where if I have a partner, he's there.
Right. It's the inner circle. Say it that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's a regular, you know, I think I have like 1,100 followers or something. It's like people I've acquired over the course of the last 15 years of my life, most of whom I probably don't talk to anymore.
Exactly. It's the Facebook friends almost.
Yes, right? Exactly. It's the Facebook friends, precisely. So all that to say, we had a lovely dinner, had some really good conversations. We got like a little bit deeper, I would say, into past stuff, to keep it really vague. Like not necessarily relationships, like things that we might have talked about in therapy. I'll put it that way. Like I'm purposely keeping it vague because this is obviously, I don't want to reveal anything about his whatever he talks about. But like I talked to him about things that either are like past traumas or past insecurities or past, like I talked to him about a couple of those things and he talked to me about a couple of those things for him.
So a man that has been to therapy is what I'll take from this.
Oh, actively.
Which is always a plus.
Yes.
And we love it.
We love. So yeah, it was nice. It felt like another level, if that makes sense. Of getting to know him between both his friends with whom he has deep history.
Okay.
And then also having more like deep conversations at dinner.
Yeah. The vulnerability door has been opened.
Yes. 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 Exactly. And so that was really lovely. And then on Saturday, this was Friday, and on Saturday, it was so gross out. It was raining. I basically sat on my couch and did nothing all day, even though I was supposed to be preparing to be out of town for 2 weeks. And I was looking at the weather for Sunday and I'm like, damn, it's going to be really nice tomorrow. I want to do something. So I texted the publicist and I was like, hey, the weather, by the way, I forgot to mention this. At the end of our fourth date, he asked when I was free before my trip, and we had already scheduled a date for the following Tuesday, which is now tomorrow.
Okay.
So we had a date on the calendar. On Saturday, I was like, you know what? It's going to be so nice tomorrow and I don't have any plans and I want some. So I texted the publicist and I said, hey, the weather looks super nice tomorrow. Do you want to go on an adventure? Full disclosure, I have not done any research about what that might entail.
Yeah. You're like, are you free? Let's have fun.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And he immediately wrote back and said like, absolutely. I'll also do some looking on my end. Like we'll figure something out.
What was the verdict?
So he ended up asking me, he was like, were you thinking something in New York City or like, did you want to go for a little drive? And I was kind of feeling a little drive. Like, I was like, I kind of want to like actually go somewhere.
Oh, hell yeah. Where'd you go?
Yeah. So we went to, I actually ended up asking ChatGPT for options.
Oh, great. They are very good at planning. It's scary.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I asked ChatGPT for like, at the time I didn't say outside New York City, but I said like, I want 5 outdoor date options, either in New York City or within an hour driving distance. And then it gave me 5 options. And then I was like, oh, I like this one the best. Give me 5 more that are like that.
Oh, okay.
And then I like kept asking. Yeah, ChatGPT was great.
For the win.
Although we were a little bit too, or I specifically was a little bit too trusting of it because we originally were going to go to Storm King, which is like an art center. It's like a, you like walk around, it's like an outdoor art, like sculptures and stuff. And it's really pretty and you can like picnic and stuff. I've never been, I've heard it's very cool. It is not within an hour of New York City.
Okay.
And we didn't know that until we got in the car and put it in the GPS.
Oh, damn. Okay. But you had backup plans, which is good.
So we then just started. I was like, all right, we start driving and we'll figure it out. And so I was Googling around for like other options. And we ended up going to a vineyard and they had wine tasting. and we sat and we had dinner overlooking the vineyard, and they had a live band.
Oh, that's so fun.
It was really fun. I ended up getting a little wine drunk because I was not driving.
Good.
I asked him in advance. I was like, do you care? Because I at one point, like, we had the wine tasting and then we had dinner for a while afterwards before he drove home. And I was like, do you care if I, like, keep drinking wine with dinner? Because I'm just the passenger. And he was like, no, do it. Absolutely.
Right.
And so we had so much fun. And then on the way home, he played, like, a throwback playlist that was all, like, music from the late 90s and early 2000s. And we just had a sing-along the entire ride home.
You know that was going to be my question, was does he sing along in the car?
Oh, hell yeah. We were going after it.
That's the best. That's the fucking best.
And it was funny because there were some songs that both of us knew that we were both belting. There was one song and I don't remember what it was now. You know the one that's like, we're dancing real close.
Too Close by Next. Yeah.
Too Close. Yes, thank you. I knew I fucked that up, but I can't believe I just sang in the fucking pod.
You're making it hard for me.
Yeah, that one.
It's about boners on the dance floor.
It's about... So I think it was that one that came on. It was some like R&B type song. And he was like, we'd been skipping songs that neither of us knew the words to.
Fair. Okay.
And like fully the words, because we were trying to really do a sing-along. And so he was like about to skip it. I was like, wait, I think I know this one. And then I crushed it, every single word.
There you go.
He was like, damn. Anyway, it was very, very fun. We had a great day.
I love it.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I mean, it sounds like you're more into it than before. Not that you weren't, but more.
It's growing for sure, in like a really great way. That's, I think every time I see him, I am more into him than the time before, in a great way. Like you said, it's not like I started out not.
Yes. But, you know, the meeting the friends, you were a little anxious. And
yeah,
my answer was, well, I think this is going to make you like him more or make you like him less. That's really all there is.
Yeah, you're right. You did say that. And you were correct. So, yeah. And then, like, I just wanted to see him again. And I was like, I want to hang out with you again. Let's do it tomorrow. And we're still going out. Like, we're still going out on our originally scheduled date mm-hmm. tomorrow.
I mean, I didn't doubt that you weren't.
Yeah, well, I did. I thought we'd replaced it. And so like, he was like, oh, did you still want to go out on Tuesday? And I said, oh, I do. Do you? And he was like, yeah, I was hoping you would.
Oh my God. This is your anxious attachment speaking. I'm like, you were like, duh. Oh, it got moved. I'm like, the guy clearly is into you. He was adding another thing. He knows you're leaving for 2 weeks. Like, he wants to see you. And it's great. I love this for you.
I love it too. Thank you. That actually is, you bring up a good point with like the anxious attachment thing, because while I, according to my therapist, have moved into secure attachment, mm-hmm. I do still tend anxious, and like in times of stress or like that's where I go. If something stresses me out, or if something unexpected happens, or something doesn't go quite right, like that's the direction that I go in. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've been able to share with him, that he's been really receptive to, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's exactly what you need.
Yeah. So, and he's like never done a single thing to activate it.
No, I mean, there hasn't. I'm like, there hasn't even been a, what do they call it? Do we call them orange flags? I don't know what we call them. Something that you're like, not sure.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
We're talking about kids today on the pod. Has that come up?
Yeah. It has. It's something that I was going to talk about when we like get into it, in terms of like how I bring that up and stuff. But he and I are very much on the same page. We talked about it on our first date.
Oh, so what did he say? Is he same boat of I could, I could not?
Yeah. The exact words that he used were that, or well, paraphrasing, but what he said was that he could see a really wonderful life both ways. Like he could see having kids. He loves kids. He has nieces and nephews. He had like he's got kids in his life. Obviously his best friends have a baby. He could see that being really lovely and like that being a really great life path with a partner. He could also see a really wonderful life again with a long-term partner. That is what he wants, but without kids. And that's like on the nose, spot on exactly how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, now being, you know, if that combo was first date, now being 12 dates and going on a date with a baby, bunch of babies around. Do you feel like the needle has moved either way?
No. Not really. I think I'm still very much like, I still want to make that decision with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't really changed.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know about you, Erica, but I have always been a PMS girly. Like that week before I get my period, even though I don't actually get a period anymore because of my IUD, the week when I would get it, I have always had just hormones all over the place, cravings, it's cramps, just all sorts of stuff. And it's been so much easier to manage my PMS with Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth.
So one thing I really like about this company is so many health studies they don't reveal has only been done on men. So I love a company that is actually making products not only designed for women, but is also testing them with women. Makes a huge, huge difference. Taking the Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause. I feel like we hear hormones and people think like, oh, that's not for me. But it can work for all of us at any age. Whether you do still have those night sweats, right? You don't have to have menopause to be hot at night, all right? That's your girl all the time. Racing thoughts and low moods, maybe poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or the occasional bloating or gas. Hormone Harmony can help you with all of these things.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, and the beauty of those is they help the body adapt to any stressors, like those chaotic hormonal change that we're talking about, or any of those issues that you mentioned. The biggest benefit is just feeling like myself all the time and not having these like ups and downs.
If you're interested in getting something like this into your routine, you should definitely check them out. And we have a limited time deal for you. You can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com and just use the code FMH at checkout.
So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast. They have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. You can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
It's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I spent the whole weekend with my two cousins and their kids, and I had such a great time. It was so nice. Their kids are lovely. And also, I haven't seen them in a long time, partly because of COVID or just the last time I was out here, because they live outside of LA about an hour. And so it was partly so cool to see the kids, because their firstborn actually was born when I interned out here this summer. And my cousin essentially married a girl that's, you know, born and raised LA. So he moved out here. They dated distance here, and then he moved out here and they started their family here. So part of it was I was the only person from our side of the family that could get there very quickly and just was conveniently here and part of the celebration.
Right.
But on that front, it's also like, oh my God, yeah, that this kid is 10 now. I was there days after he was born. He has such a personality. He's so smart that both the kids were kept throwing me riddles because I think they thought they were jokes, and they'd be like, tell me a joke. Tell me a joke. How about this one? Do you know this one? And I really just loved it. I had a really nice time, and it kind of gave me a window into what life is when you have kids. You're getting up early to go to the baseball game, and just just the lovely family time that they have together really kind of reiterated my choice if I would like to have kids. Mm-hmm. But even more so, I'll be honest, so eye-opening of what is really important in a partner when you're on that weekend of the house, the kids, the 24/7 chaos. And it really just reiterated to me, like, these are the things you should really be looking for when you are dating and noticing these personality traits. Because this is, if this is the future you want, you need to really pay more attention to that and not put value on other things as much, which obviously can be easier said than done.
Yeah.
But it was, wait. I don't know, it was kind of just nice for me to see it and be around it for 3 full days.
Yeah. Wait, tell me more about, like, what do you think are those? Cause, I mean, now we might as well just transition into our topic talk. We're talking about kids.
Yeah.
But, like, and also before I ask this question, I will say thank you to everybody who submitted so many great topic ideas, questions, guest ideas. This series is going to be sprinkled across, you know, probably, I mean, there's so many different things we can talk about within this. So I honestly, like, through the rest of the year, but I'm just really grateful to everybody who submitted so many good ideas. Today, we're going to be talking about, like, our own thoughts and experiences with wanting kids or not, or whatever, and how that's impacted our own dating lives. So with that, the question that I have for you is what, like, tell me more about kind of what you were observing and what you think are these things that you're now, you're, you know, extra realizing how important they are.
Okay. So I think the number one, and this is hard to tell in early dating, but I think if you're a woman who works and you love to work and you see yourself working and having kids, the biggest thing I noticed is how much both of them work to do all the household things.
Like shared labor there.
Right. Like, I think it partly comes from thoughtfulness. And I have dated people where I did get glimpses of that, that I thought to myself, oh, this will be a dude that thinks to get up and help clean off the table after dinner or wipe down a counter. Like, the most basic things. But often, you know, in traditional relationships, it's like that's all put on the woman. And even if you don't have the traditional and you have two women working, it's the number one thing I feel like a lot of married women complain about is not having that help from their male partner.
And even the, like you mentioned, the thoughtfulness of, like, the thinking to clean off the table. I follow a lot of this kind of content on TikTok that's really great. And I will compile some of my favorite creators in this space and put them in the show notes when we release this app. But a lot of people talk about too how it's not just the actual labor, but the planning of that labor. So, like, if you have to give somebody a chore list, they haven't actually taken those chores off your plate. You are now managing them. You are now their manager at work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think, you know what? Maybe it's something of just people that think to help, because I've noticed that with friends of if they're at your house and you start doing something and they get up and are like, oh, what can I do to help you clean up and do X, Y, Z? And it sounds like such a little thing, but my God, I have heard so many women complain about it in my own life. And it's something like, yeah, there's a lot of women that complain about it that do even have the traditional relationship and are still like, I need some freaking help sometimes. And maybe that's something I'm really into too, because I also know I am very bad at asking for it.
Oh, yeah.
And I have something of, I do not want to be called a nag. I don't think anybody wants to be called a nag.
No.
But it makes me just not ask. And that obviously can put you in a situation that's not great.
There's this narrative that's been put on us that if we're asking for help, that is that we're nagging. That, like, asking for somebody to help us with something.
Well,
which is,
more than once is what it is. Like, stop nagging me about it. It's like, okay, we'll start doing it. Like, I don't know where the compromise
is. I wouldn't have had to ask the second. Like, what? That's such a good point. Why is the person asking multiple times at fault here instead of the person who had to be asked multiple times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because I'm thinking of the things, but I'm trying to think what are the qualities you could see that would lead to these things. And I feel like for me, a big part of it too would be someone who likes to do things, who likes to go out and do things and sees a beautiful day and says, we should go do something. It's a beautiful day. Granted, we all have the exception to the rule of you've had a long week, you want to just chill out the house.
Of course.
Whatever. But I loved watching, you know, both of them be so hey, boys, what do you want to do today? It's beautiful out. Want to do X, Y, Z? You know, like very encouraging of not only doing things in that sense, but hearing them talk about, oh, you know, the one son tried a coding class last summer. This son tried jujitsu. And I love the idea of, I would love to try to expose my kids to as much as possible. And part of it is so that they can find something they're good at and that they love and they feel confident. But also, yeah, it's just, I think it's good to expose them to as much as you can, which can especially be hard in a relationship because it also means, hey, both of us are going to have to split and drive one to here and drive the other to there. So yeah, I don't know exactly the trait, but I think that's the closest I can come to nailing it. Yeah. Like the idea of if I said to them, hey, I've never done a pottery class. Want to take a pottery class with me? And someone who's always like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, okay, well, that's not very fun.
Okay. Well, that's not very fun of you, is it?
Yeah.
No, you're right, though. I think tangential trait that could speak to that, too, is somebody who is willing to have a conversation about what you're going to prioritize in your relationship,
mm-hmm.
especially about doing things. So, like, I have really appreciated partners in the past where we both have busy lives. We both like to do things. But we also want to, let's say, spend time together. And sometimes that means that one or both of us has to deprioritize something that we might have done if we were single.
Yeah.
And like, how willing are they to come together with you to like prioritize stuff in both of your lives so that you can do this thing together?
Yeah. And I think those are the two big things, I guess, that are hard to explain that aren't just personality traits directly. But on top of that, just like who is kind, who listens, who has patience, and also just is very loving. And I think it's just like, oh, really paying attention to how someone really treats you in those regards when you need patience and you need extra care. I think would translate to also their children. So essentially, I think the big umbrella is not their looks. And obviously, we've all heard it before. Like and
spoiler
said it before,
alert.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that we did not list is what somebody looks like. It has absolutely nothing to do with whether they're going to be a good partner or parent.
Right. And motivation and, you know, honestly, intelligence is another one that, to be honest with you, I don't know if I've ever said when someone said, rattle off your top five traits that you want in a person. And
oh, really?
It's something, yeah, seeing my cousins, I mean, they're both brilliant. They're both very smart. And you can see it in their kids. And you can see it in the conversations they have with them and the ways they challenge them and make their minds think differently. Even the riddle thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know. It left me with a little bit of a different lens.
I love that. Yeah, I think intellectual compatibility is really important to me. And it's interesting what you said about like how that translates to kids, because you're so right. Like somebody that also wants to challenge their kids intellectually and like play fun games with them. And like, that's something that my mom really liked to do with me and my dad really didn't. And I remember that. And obviously I loved my dad. I thought he was an amazing dad. And I know I don't need to preface this with it, but I don't like to speak ill of the dead. But that wasn't his thing. Like he wasn't like, my mom wanted to like play spelling games with me in the bathtub and like give me riddles to solve while I was in my car seat in the back seat. And my dad wasn't into that. And I really remember and value those conversations with my mom. It's the reason I like words, is because of her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's something that I now look for in partners, not just related to having kids, because like we said, I don't know if I want to, but I like those types of conversations with people and people who like to be intellectually stimulated and learn new shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing is just looking at someone, and I've often heard this advice actually with divorce and handling if you have kids in divorce, is, you know, when you look at someone as a partner, you should ask yourself, would I be happy if my kids turned out like them?
Oh, yeah.
Because especially if you're having multiple kids, it's like, look, one's probably going to be like you and one's probably going to be like the other one. So in terms of divorce and kids, it's like, all right, if you're bashing the parent of your children, you are bashing half of what they are. And it's a reason why, one, you should never do it, but it also makes you think more through that lens too, of like, okay, my kid comes out exactly like this person. Am I happy about that?
Yeah. Or another frame of reference too, or and another frame of reference on that, my kid is raised by this person. Mm-hmm. Am I happy about that? Like, right. God forbid something happens to you. Or if it's like a split custody situation, like, am I happy that my kid is with that person and under this person's influence or not?
Oh, God. I saw, I don't know if it was a TikTok or something, about women basically saying they almost are afraid to leave their kids like with their spouse for the whole weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I think that just reiterates a lot of what I said of, oh, because do you think they're not thoughtful when it comes to XYZ? They're not going to take care of them as much as you would. And I was sitting there like, I would hate if I felt that way about leaving my kids with my spouse for a full weekend, days, a week. Just like, they got it, you know?
A long time ago, not that long ago, I guess, because I haven't had friends with kids for that long, but some time ago, I was planning something with a bunch of people, and one person coming had a baby, but not crazy young, but a baby. I didn't know her that well. Somebody else in the group was like, oh, so-and-so can't come because she can't leave the baby with insert partner. I'm like,
that's wild.
I'm sorry. He can't be alone with his child?
Yeah, that's insane.
And like that, but and I think that is far more common, like you said, of mm-hmm. like videos that we see that come up, far more common than we realize and really scary and emphasizes what you're saying about. And I want to be clear, not that it is those women's fault that, yeah. that their partners are like that, but like just emphasizes what you're saying about like the qualities and things that might not always directly translate, but things that I definitely think about having seen a lot of friends have kids.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's that weaponized incompetence of like, I don't know yep. how to change a diaper. And women need to learn to give up control too, because that was my mom. My mom does not like giving up control. She's like, she gets mad if you don't do it the way she does it. So she's like, let me just do it myself. And then she's overworked and overwhelmed. And she jokes, but I don't really think she's joking when she just said to me growing up, like, you know, I never trained your father. Like, I just let him not know how to do things, and I just took over and did it myself, as opposed to basically teaching him and showing him to lighten my own load. Granted, their marriage still works, they're great, they're happy, but I took notes of that growing up. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I've had to learn that in myself, in terms of like not being a control freak. Like, for example, somebody who loads the dishwasher in a way that you wouldn't load it, but is objectively going to be fine.
Yes.
Like, yeah, they're not breaking all the shit, right? It's different if they're loading yeah. the dishwasher and every time they do the dishes, they break everything in there. Like, that's different. But like, everybody has a way that they like to load a dishwasher, I think.
Yes. And you gotta let some stuff go.
You gotta let some stuff go. But that has stuff like that. That's a random example, but stuff like that has been hard for me in the past. I want to talk about our listener polls, because we did a few polls this week as we get into this topic. The first poll that we asked is, do you want kids? If you don't already have them, we specified. And so there were some people who could just peep the poll numbers.
I mean, I'll guess on these. I'd guess it was close to 50-50.
So I also thought it was going to be close to 50-50. And I guess it is, in the sense that close to 50% of people said yes, they do. If I take out the people who already have kids.
Okay.
And then of the other 50% of people, it was like 60-40, no and not sure. So like ultimately it ended up breaking down 40% yes, 20% no, 30% not sure, and then 10% already has kids.
Interesting. Okay.
Not sure was bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised, honestly.
I think like – I was really happy to see it as big as it was, because I think that maybe this speaks to our listeners' age as well, where like, if I had answered this question at 25 instead of 30, well, I'm 36, whatever. If I had answered this question at 26 instead of 36, I would have said yes.
Interesting. Because I think if we made the question, say you have disposable income, do you want kids? I think the vast majority would say yes. Because I think that's the number one factor that makes people say, I'm not sure or no, is because you look at your life currently and say, well, as of right now, I don't make enough money that I think I could afford to give a kid the life that I would want it to get, want to give it.
That would be an interesting follow-up question. Like for the people who aren't sure, like what's the biggest factor? Because for me, it's lifestyle change.
Okay.
Like I don't
time though.
Yes. Like I, yeah. Not lifestyle change financially, although that is certainly another big factor, but more so another person to prioritize above yourself, really, in terms of like things you're going to do. Like I really like that my time is mine. And mm-hmm. that if I want to sleep in, I get to sleep in. And if I mean, within reason, obviously, if there's some, I could go to work. But
right.
But like, you know, and I can get to play volleyball tournaments all day Saturday. And even if I do have a partner, not have to think about like putting any sort of burden on that person if I'm always off doing something.
Right. The guilt is real.
Yeah. Guilt and like, again, real. Like you said, I definitely want a partner who I could do that. And I have plenty of friends who play volleyball and they have kids and their partners share that load with them. But there's still a conversation that has to happen of like, I'm not going to be here on that day. And so, you know, like it's just, there's
it's more work.
There's more involved. Yeah. It's more, it's absolutely. Work. And that's the biggest factor for me is like lifestyle change. And frankly, the work involved, it seems like a lot.
Mm. Yes.
I mean, it is objectively. Well, I think age factors in the sense that I didn't have any peer examples of what that really looked like and meant 10 years ago. And I just thought that like, oh yeah, of course I'm going to have kids. Everybody does, or everybody wants to. And it didn't even like occur to me that it was something I could opt out of. Okay. So the next poll, so we asked, do you want kids? And then we said, does your answer change your approach to dating?
Okay, I would say 90% of people say yes on this one. I think it's a vast majority.
I thought that was going to be the case too, but it's actually only 65% of people that said yes and 25% of people who said no, and then the people who already have kids are separate.
Interesting. So what were the reasons? What were the things people say? Let's say this, aside from swiping on dating apps, right? Because you could put, I would like to have kids, don't want kids, already have kids, whatever. So aside from that reason, because I feel like it's obvious, what are some of the reasons people gave?
It was pretty kind of like intuitive, the things that people said for the reasons it does affect it. Like, I really want kids and therefore I want to make sure that I'm dating people who also do, for example.
Okay.
On the flip side though, there were people who said, well, I don't want them, so there's no real rush, so I don't really think about it.
Okay, fair.
And also there was, and this is kind of how I feel about it, a big contingent of people that had answered not sure. And they were like, I don't really know. And I will make that decision with someone. So it doesn't really change how I approach dating because it's like a future me problem, basically.
Okay. I respect that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, I think an age factor that I've seen a lot of my friends have is the older they get, they more, not more open, but I feel like there's an age where suddenly my friends have said, I'm very open to dating someone who already has a kid.
Yeah.
And they're not opposed to it. It doesn't, I guess, deter them in any way.
Yeah. And that was something that is definitely a topic we'll cover at some point, is dating not only as a single parent, but dating somebody who is a parent when you are not.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I've thought about a lot, because specifically as it relates to my matchmaker.
Right.
Because with the matchmaker, you get a limited number of non-negotiables. Like, you can't have a laundry list of like 100 things that you're looking for. Or there would be like, that person doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't remember exactly what the number was of how many I got, but there was a limit. And I thought really long and hard about whether I wanted already has kids to be one of them. Like whether I wanted that to be a deal breaker if somebody already has kids.
Right.
And ultimately I ended up saying it was.
I mean, that makes sense because you're on the fence about even having them yourself. So.
Right. It was like and the reason, and I think like my reason, my deciding factor is important here because the reason that I'm so on the fence about it is because I don't know if I want the lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it would be that fair of me to start dating somebody who has kids, especially young kids, if I'm like, but I don't want to be involved in any way.
Yeah, you'd be like the, she's not officially the stepmother, but who's the girl in the Parent Trap? Vivian? Is that it?
Oh, Meredith.
Meredith, that's it. I don't know why I thought Vivian. I was like, that's a mean name. What's the mean name? Think of that lady. But she clearly is like, I want these kids out of my freaking way. And not saying you would be that right. way, but it almost gives that vibe. You're like, but, eh. You know.
Yeah. And of course, you know, that's not to say that like I would have to be super involved or that, you know, obviously that's a conversation, but I would want to be to a certain extent if I were, you know, in a long-term partnership with someone and they have kids, like I would want to be. And that mm-hmm. isn't a decision that I'm like ready to make right now. So that's why I ended up going that way.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I understand is what I meant.
Yeah. Okay. Last poll. How soon should you ask about kids when dating? And the options that we gave were, this is assuming you're meeting them on a dating app, by the way. The options that we gave were before you even meet, on a first date, before you define the relationship, or after you define the relationship.
Okay, these are the options. I think the majority would say before you define the relationship. And I think that also has to do with age. So that's what I'm going to guess is the majority.
By far. 60% okay. of people.
Of those options, if you gave me these are the only options you have to bring it up, I go first date, personally.
Like if the options were...
If those are the only options. Said? Yeah. Either before, first date, or in the define the relationship conversation, or after, I'd be like, oh, first date. If those are my options, I'm getting that out of the way the quickest.
I also would have picked first date. And obviously, I put my money where my mouth is because I talked about it. And I brought it up. I brought it up with the publicist on our first date.
Fair.
And it was in context. I don't think it's something that I have always, oh, I must ask this. Like, it's not like a must ask question for me on a first date.
Mm-hmm.
But if anything comes up relative to kids, I think it was maybe his friends who have a baby or something. If the context of peer groups having kids comes up, I take that opportunity to ask how they feel about it.
Yeah. Easy opener.
Very much so. Especially in your mid-30s, I don't think it's like an out-of-left-field question.
Yeah.
And so then when we asked people why, and a lot of people said something similar about like, well, I'm in my mid-30s, and it's a time-sensitive question whether I do or don't. Mm-hmm. And like, if I don't want kids, I don't want to waste somebody's time if they really do. Or if I do want kids, I don't want to waste my time if they really don't, etc. How do you approach, so knowing that you want kids,
mm-hmm.
how do you approach swiping on a dating app in terms of like what people have selected? If they like, obviously, if somebody says they do, then that's like an obvious, like you guys align on that. But what about if they say they're not sure, or if they don't fill it out, or if they say they don't want them?
Okay. When swiping for me, obviously, yes, too, wants kids. Doesn't want kids. No.
Yeah, that makes
not
sense.
Not sure yet. I am open to it. However, I will have a more critiquing eye for the profile in general because I do want someone that is gung-ho about having kids and, quote, fuck yes on it.
Yeah. If I could
draft my perfect person. I'm like, I would prefer that. And that's no offense, you know, to you or anybody that is on the fence. But
no,
I'm
definitely.
I'm in the yes column. Hard yes.
And for the record, I don't want to have kids unless I feel that way.
Right. Exactly.
You know? But yeah, so okay, yeah. So you see the not sure.
Yeah, but I will say this one. The have kids and want more or have kids and don't want more. I swipe no on both of those. And that's something I look at and I say, I don't think I'm at the age yet where I need to make that compromise. And I don't mean that to sound judgy, but I see it as I'm just not there yet. I think I will hit an age that I become open to it, but I'm 32 and I'm like, I still think I could find someone that doesn't already have children.
So you would prefer to have that first experience with somebody else? Like to have it be both of your first experiences?
Yeah. And I'm not anti, but no, in the dating app world, that is a filter that I will do. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's totally valid and makes sense. It's interesting being in the not sure camp and looking at profiles of people who, for example, say they want kids. And I basically swipe right on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes. Obviously there's other factors in the profile, but
that's one you basically never filter, except the calf kids.
Yeah. And I don't filter. I actually just PSA recommend not using that filter in general, because the way that Bumble and Hinge works, you won't see people who didn't fill it out.
Yeah.
So, and how do you feel about that? How do you feel about if somebody just like doesn't have a reference to it?
It's just something I note to myself that I would try to bring up, because the person that has no reference but then has the picture with the nephew on the profile, I'm like, well, they're trying to convey the message of I like children and most likely want children.
Like some people, I think, and I do not agree with this, just to be clear, but some people, I think, feel like mentioning kids in that direct of a way is like too much on a dating app profile and therefore they don't fill it out.
See, funny, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that, but I feel like in general, men are very direct when they know what they want. And I think that is literally just them putting it out there. And they almost use dating apps, I feel, more business-like when they really are looking, is those are the profiles that say, I want XYZ. I would love someone who likes XYZ. And they're the most point-blank profiles. And granted, they're not the most fun and the most whimsical. But I actually really like those profiles and respect them, because I go, that's a man that knows what he wants. And I like that.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, so I swipe left typically on people who say they already have kids for the reason I talked about, regardless of whether they want more or not.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I'm basically swiping right on everybody and then just planning on having a conversation about it, because I have found that even men who say on their profile want kids, I have found in conversation are actually still on the fence based on whatever partnership they end up in having that conversation.
Yeah. And some people aren't. Some people are.
Yeah. And some people are not that way. Some people are very much like, I want them.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I might.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's hard. It's hard. It's like hard to approach. And we got a couple questions from people who aren't sure. It's hard to approach it because I'm like, like, I really don't know. So I don't want to eliminate anyone.
Okay, so one of the questions we got, which I feel like is somewhat perfect for you, I don't know if you have experienced this, but how to talk to your parents about not being sure when they're pressuring you?
So this isn't something I've experienced personally. I am very, very grateful to both my parents, but my dad passed away when I was younger than I think would probably start to hear it generally. I'm very, very grateful that my mom is not the pressury type. In fact, she said that she would be totally cool if she was never a grandmother. She's like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I don't need to deal with babies again. Like, if you have them. And she said, if you have them, I will obviously love them with all of my heart. And that would be wonderful. But like, I'm cool. If not, like, that's fine. I have had friends have experiences where their parents were like offended. And this is what I was worried about when I first told my mom that I wasn't sure. I was worried that she would be offended because she's my mom. So like, if I don't want kids, it must be because something about our relationship made me not want them.
Right. Yeah, I get that. They might feel like, oh, I didn't do a good job raising you, that like, you think having a kid is a burden or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Like, you don't want a kid who thinks about you the way that you think about me, and therefore you don't want them, which is not the case. I know that that does happen. There are people out there that for whom that is the case. That's not my experience, but I was really worried that she would feel that way. And I have friends whose parents reacted that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like more so the pressure is to freeze your eggs and take the precaution in case you do want them. I feel like that's more the pressure than you should for sure have them. And, you know, you're not getting any younger. I feel like that's what I've had said to me by family members. And it wasn't in a pressure way. It was usually from people that struggled with IVF later in life that said,
PSA.
If I could go back, I would have froze them and, you know, make it work. Don't stress about the money. If you can make it work. And you'll have like a safety net if you decide yes. And if you decide no, you know, I don't think you're going to regret the decision.
And I should note, for those who don't know this about me, that I did freeze my eggs 2 years ago.
Right.
And one of the reasons is because I thought about that calculus. I thought about, like, let's say I'm late 30s, early 40s, wanting kids and struggling and wishing I had frozen my eggs. That's bad scenario number one. Bad scenario number two is I freeze my eggs and end up deciding I don't want kids and I quote unquote wasted that money. I am way happier with scenario two.
Right. And also, it's a fortunate scenario to be in because, you know.
Yes. Yes. And I was about, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was about to say, I was very fortunate to be able to make a decision like that financially. And we're, again, another topic we will definitely talk about in this, you know, drawn out series of ours is fertility and egg freezing and whatnot. But I, even before that, though, like, my decision to freeze my eggs didn't really have anything to do with pressure from anybody externally. One piece of advice I will give about talking to your parents about not being sure, if you're worried about it. One way that I framed it to my mom was that she raised me to think really critically and to be really thoughtful about the things that I choose to do in my life and the things that are going to make me bring me joy and be like really good for me in my life. And I don't know, I've thought really critically about how massive of a decision it is to have children. And I don't know if it's for me. And I came to that decision in part because she raised me to be really thoughtful about big decisions.
Right.
And that could be that somebody was really thoughtful like you about a big decision and you want to have them. But you were like really thoughtful about that decision.
I mean, I for years have said the I'm not sure, or honestly, when I was younger, I more thought if I don't have them by a certain age, then I just won't have them.
Oh, interesting.
And I think a big part of that too was, you know, my friend group was also mostly around my age, and my friends that were in their 30s were younger 30s. So no one had hit that point yet of egg freezing and those conversations and serious partners. And so now seeing all that, and also just being older, I'm like, okay, I'm 32 and I still feel like that's very young for kids. And the having kids at an older age doesn't scare me anymore. And that's another thing that I have, the cousins I saw this weekend, other cousins on my dad's side. Like, I have cousins sprinkled out through my family. And they typically are people that live near a major city. And they're all the people that had kids closer to 40 than 30.
Yeah.
And it very much is like, no, that's perfectly doable. The fears I had about doing that have kind of been debunked for myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I really wish, I think, like, my, if I could like impart one thing that I think about having kids now onto my younger self and onto like a lot of people, it's in society, especially as a woman, having kids is something you seem to need to opt out of.
Right.
When it is this massive, massive responsibility, decision, et cetera, that would make way more sense to be required to opt into then opt mm-hmm. out of. But if you say to somebody, again, especially as a woman, if you were to say to someone like, oh yeah, I want kids, you're not getting a line of questioning afterwards about why.
Yes.
But the opposite is true. If you're not sure, and this has happened to me, if I say I'm not sure, or if somebody were to say I don't want them, so many questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's indirectly made Chelsea Handler the sponsor, the spokesperson, for not wanting kids. Now she's the go-to woman. Everyone's like, look at Chelsea Handler, huh? Skiing topless. Look at her go. She's living the dream, you know, or whatever she's doing. And it's funny because it's so funny that she was getting the pressure because her whole career has been based on her personality. And I never once watched her personally and said, man, that's a woman that really wants a baby. You know, that's that woman's going to be a mother. I was like, no, this woman likes to party and she is openly selfish. And I love it because I wish there were more not selfish parents out there in general. So I love that she's like, no, I'm selfish. Done a lot of therapy. I mean, that part's not changing.
I mean, and that's when I said lifestyle change, the quiet part is that I want to prioritize myself potentially, you know? And that's another thing that we'll definitely cover in the course of these episodes is choosing a child-free life and, you know, what that looks like and people's experiences with it. Because something that has been in my thoughts, something that I've thought about, pondered, is, a child-free life seems really great and like the path that I want now in the life that I know now. But what about later? What about after it's an option? Because right now I still have both options and at some point I won't. And what will that look like? And so I look forward to getting more into that and many other topics as we move forward in this.
Yeah. And I guess my last thoughts on this is actually a quote that my Nana used to say when this would come up and people would say, I'm not sure or I'm on the fence. She would always say, you know, if you don't have kids, you don't have that joy. But you also don't have that worry.
Mm.
And it's like, as much as it's a blessing, it also is something that's like, it's for life. It is absolutely for life. And even when your kids move out, you're still going to think about them and worry about them. And, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, basically. So it's like, hey, whatever path you choose is the path you choose.
Yeah. And there's a lot of joy on both.
Exactly.
So. Yeah. So
anyway,
with that, we will see y'all next week.
Yes. Thank you guys for submitting and talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.